Hi, Ash. Can you hear me? See me? Looks like you're still getting set up. And I see there's an iPhone here, but it just says iPhone. It doesn't give me a name, so I really don't know who you are.
This is Amy. It's Amy.
Oh, hey. Hi, Amy. Yay, you're able to make
Hi.
it. Awesome. Hey. Cool. So when Tara gets back to her chair, we'll go ahead and start office hours. Thank you for posting your question, Amy. I just saw that, and I'm happy that you're here because we
Sure.
can certainly talk about that. That's a really good
Okay.
question.
Cool.
I'm just going to wait like 15 seconds for Tara to come back. Okay, well, we can go ahead and get started. So, office hours are going to be different from the life on purpose calls and the team group calls in a lot of different ways. So, office hours, just like when you went to school of any kind, there was typically time that you could go visit the professor or the teacher and ask questions or get help studying or just sit in and get a better understanding of what they were teaching. So this is very much like that. It's casual, super informal, as are the other calls, but in the sense that you can come and bring any questions that you have about anything. There are no stupid questions. There are no like silly questions. Like all the questions are important, and I will do my best to. Hi, Jess. Yay! Oh, awesome. Tara's back. Cool. So I'm just going over the how office hours are different from the life on purpose calls and the group calls. So these are very casual. There's not necessarily a format in the sense that we're going through exercises or I'm teaching anything, unless we have downtime, in which case, like, I'm totally happy to teach on a subject. But these are essentially for you ladies to come and bring your questions or something maybe that you came across in your reading or the workbooks or your business or life, and offer it up as a question. Or if there's something you discovered that you're finding exciting and interesting, you can offer that up as well. And it's very much like a Q&A format where like I'm just hanging out here in my office looking over the ocean, and you ladies can ask me anything. And I will always do my best to answer to the best of my ability, but there's probably going to be a lot that I don't know, which I'm actually excited about because that means that I get to grow and I get to learn with you. In which case, I will help you research, or I'll reach out to my network or my colleagues or what have you if there's something that I can't address. But yeah, this is intended to be a resource for you to expand your knowledge or to brainstorm ideas. If you want to bring something where you'd like feedback from the group, then whoever is here together on the group, we can kind of do like show of hands, round robin format to answer, or help like brainstorm or vote or anything like that. So that being said, I just sent out an email and posted in the Facebook group like an hour ago. So some of you may have not seen this. If you do have a specific question or something that you would like some attention on, please post it in the Facebook group and tag me so that I know to like write you down and put that on the list. And that's the priority that will be given is the questions in the Facebook group. And that gives me a sense, kind of like a heads up of how much time to like allot to each person. Just is helpful for structuring the call itself. But if you like last minute forgot to post in the Facebook group, or you just hop on a call and a question comes up, that's totally cool too. And I will do my best to get to you with those kinds of questions. And since we all, for the most part, know each other, we won't do like introduction round or question or gratitude round like we usually do. We're just gonna kind of hop into the informal Q&A. But since Brynn is here and she's one of our, she wasn't able to join us last time, but she's here today. Brynn, if you're okay with it, I'm just gonna offer this up to you. If you'd like to introduce yourself and just like your name and where you're located and where you're at in your business journey, or wherever that may be,
Sure.
and then we'll go into office hours. But since you're here, it would be great to have you say hi to everybody.
Sure. Can you hear me? Okay. I'm Bryn, and I am located in Rockford, Michigan, which is about 15 minutes north of Grand Rapids, Michigan. It gets really cold here in the wintertime. So I, right now I'm in a job that is very unfulfilling and it's time for me to make a change. And that change, I want that change to be a business of my own. However, I'm not sure what that looks like at this point in my journey. So I'm still looking or hoping to get some ideas, but I joined this class to at least get a good foundation on once I do get that idea is how to move forward with it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for introducing yourself. Welcome to the community.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Excited to be here.
Wonderful. We're excited to have you. Yeah. This is like a really high level group of women for sure. So I'm grateful to have you with us. Cool. All right. So let's start office hours. Raise your hand if you have a specific question that you would like some feedback around today on the call. I know that Amy had a specific question. Jessica does. Okay. Anybody else? Tara, Bryn, Ash. Okay. Okay, cool. So I'll start with Amy and then we'll go to Jessica and then anybody else that has any questions that arise, or we'll kind of check in with each other at that point, but we'll start with these two ladies. Time-wise, it kind of depends on the scope of your question as well, but I'm happy to hold space for 5 to 10 minutes for each of you. And if it seems to be a more robust inquiry, then we can hold some more space for that, seeing as how there's only two of you with something specific on top of mind today. Does that sound okay? Cool. All right. Amy, so you are welcome to re-ask your question from the Facebook group, or I'm happy to read it if you're like driving or in transit.
I'm not driving, but I am like multitasking, so that's why I don't have my video on, so I don't give it all a headache from like moving around. So I mean, basically my question, I don't remember it verbatim, but I know it had to do with, so I've been listening to that podcast Side Hustle School a lot during my workday. I mean, not all day, but I've been listening to it a lot on my ride and during the workday, and it's awesome. And there are so many crazy ideas out there for side hustles that have succeeded. And it just blows my mind. So with that being said, one right after the other, one after the other. And that's basically part of my problem. I'm just flooded with ideas. But I did have, I guess, kind of like just a side hustle idea, definitely not like my big picture idea, but a side hustle, like a seasonal idea. But I was just kind of concerned with, I don't know, just spreading myself too thin, burning the candle at both ends, and not really, of course, you know, during the time of doing this seasonal side hustle, I wouldn't be focused on the big picture. So I just don't know if it's a good idea or you know, something that I should really set out to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great inquiry. So my question for you, kind of like a higher level question, is what has you interested in doing this kind of seasonal based project? Like, what are the motivations or intentions behind that?
Oh, it's basically money motivated.
Totally understandable.
I mean, that's really it. Around this time of year, that's what it comes down to.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's something I like, you know, it's just a gift wrapping service. So I actually enjoy wrapping gifts. I'm assuming there's probably people out there that probably don't like that aspect of the holidays. So it was just kind of an idea to kind of, you know, like a service like any other service, just for people that, you know, can afford to just say, okay, you know what, I don't feel like wrapping my gifts this year, here you go. And I would wholeheartedly enjoy doing that. But of course it was, you know, the money was is the prime motivator.
Gotcha. Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, look, if we're being honest, we're here to make money, right? Like, we're here to
do what
we love and express our passions and bring value in the world for the exchange of money, right? That's a big part of the process. So I just want to remove any like layer of like shame or guilt that may be happening around like, you know, oh, this is money motivated. That's what side hustles are all about, or part of what they're all about. So,
right.
So my next question there would be, have you done the crunch the numbers to see what your fees would be and, or what would make it worth it for you to do this?
As far as crunching numbers, I mean, I kind of looked around on the internet a little bit to see if, you know, the services that are already out there and kind of what they charge. And I couldn't really find anything concrete around pricing. But as far as how to charge, I kind of thought of a couple different ways as far as like by the size of the package or just the amount of, I guess, presents or gifts or whatever it would be. And then a couple different services, whether it be like door to door or kind of keeping the gifts. I had another idea to kind of keep the gifts until Christmas Eve, to kind of keep them out of the house in case they have kids that kind of like snoop around. So that would also be an additional fee. Same as, you know, and I was only going to only offer it to kind of just keep it at my work because I work at a pretty large corporation. I wasn't really going to take it outside into, you know, the neighborhoods or whatever. It was basically going to be a work type thing where I could actually get the gifts at work and bring them to my house and then do something like that. No. Have I come down to concrete number crunch? No.
Okay.
To basically answer your question.
Okay. No, that was all very, very helpful. Totally. So it sounds like you have some great ideas that are high value for people in your workspace. And you have some thoughts around how, like, kind of levels of packages, no pun intended, that you would offer. And right. Not so sure about what the price points would be yet, but it sounds like you have a strong sense that this is something that people would desire, that you would have a market for.
Right.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, you know, not everyone at my work. There's different kind of levels at my work, so... Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that the work with would pay for it. We're not, you know, right out of college. Obviously, that group would not want this service. But yeah, I definitely think I could get. I think there's some numbers there that okay. would take me up on the surface.
Okay. All right. So, just to pin an idea or a suggestion here, I would recommend that you take a survey of your workplace to get a sense of if there is interest. So if you can send like an email, I don't know if that's against protocol or conflict of interest, but to like somehow get your thumb on the pulse of whether this is something people would actually pay for, right? So that will save you a lot of time and energy even thinking about if this is a question or not, because you may find out that like it's a resounding yes or it's a resounding no, or you know, somewhere in the middle. So
okay.
Getting that feedback would be, I think, a good important first step. And then kind of taking it a bit further in the decision-making, what would the cons to this be? Or like the cost, if you did kind of go in this direction and focus your time in this direction, what would you be shelving or not able to attend to that, you know, that you wanted to previously?
Well, I guess it would depend on, you know, how many customers I actually had. I guess just, I mean, I don't know exactly what I'd be giving up. I would still do my day-to-day responsibilities as a parent. Mm-hmm. But I think I would have to end up, I don't know, either having really late nights doing work towards our one-on-one coaching, just things like that, like what I'm doing now with you guys. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would suffer. And that's what I don't know if I want to do with it. Is it really worth it? And again, it's really late in the game. I mean, it's going to be December in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely late in the game anyway. So maybe it's something more for me to look into for next year as a side hustle. You know, like I don't even know if it's too late.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's something that could be answered by you taking a survey of your workplace. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you and I, on our last call, one of your action items was to do a time budget, right? Or audit your schedule and find out how many pockets of time do you have in your week to like invest in what you want to do.
Right.
And it sounds like in your kind of simulating through this, that the time that you have, it would not necessarily be an either or scenario, but it would detract from your like coaching or from the masterclass a bit. As far as
yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, my time's already limited and pretty much at nighttime or, you know, early morning.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. What is there? This is kind of abstract, but is there a financial metric that would make this like an absolute yes for you? Just like no brainer. Like, what would that bar be?
Oh, geez. I haven't even thought about that. That's something to think about. I don't even know.
That's what we're here for.
Really? Any amount of incoming money would be like, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. But I think what you said about just getting kind of like a survey and seeing if there's even, you know, even anything there, any interest. I think that's kind of my first step, because, you know, if it's only, you know, a handful of people, then I probably wouldn't even bother figuring out the whole concept of the, you know, how much to charge and all that. I think that would take up too much time for that limited amount of people. But yeah, I mean, if I had like, you know, 20 to 30 people that were interested and they were willing to pay me like, you know, from 100 to 200 each, I would probably do it.
Each being gift or person, sorry.
Because I know when I looked into the prices, it was like $5 for a small package, like $6 for a medium. You know, it wasn't super high.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out if there's still those tables that they set up in malls where they wrap for free. Do they have them still? I don't even know.
I haven't been to a mall.
I know they used
really
to back in the day.
Does anybody else know? Has anyone been to a mall recently?
They do in my town.
They do? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that's a good point too.
Yeah.
But that's also something you know, you can ask it in your survey. It's like, would you be willing to hire me to do this?
Right.
You know, and if people say yes, that's a good indicator. So it sounds like the surveys are a good starting spot point. And then honing in on what the threshold would be between what would make it a yes for you or a no for you. It sounds like that threshold would be directly correlated with the revenue involved, right? So if it's like over a certain amount or under a certain amount, that would dictate. And so I would invite you to get clearer about that in whatever, you know, like kind of unpacking things onto the table in the sense of how much time you have, how much would you need to be making to make this worth it? And then with those two things, it might come down to like an hourly thing, or you might be able to approximate, okay, a small gift would take me 10 minutes or 5 minutes, in which case it would be this much. But see if you can like batch the amount of money you would need into the time you have. And then with the time you have, diversify that into like package size or, you know, what have you.
Or hourly.
Just try to get like,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like a tangible monetary exchange that you would be, you know, making with people that would then give rise to the threshold. I think those would be new numbers to crunch. Is this making sense?
Yeah, perfect. I mean, perfect sense. Yeah. I just have to sit down and just crunch the numbers really and take the time to do that.
Cool. Yeah. And this is, I mean, this is awesome because this is like a little micro conversation of like, how do I come up with my MVP and how do I test it? Right. How do I make sure my market actually wants the thing? So this is great. It's like a little capsule of what we're getting into here with team in the next few weeks. So, is that helpful? Do you have any unanswered questions about that before I shift gears?
No, I mean, it's super helpful. And I just think if I went for it, you know, I would just keep reminding myself that it's seasonal and just kind of, you know, if I have to do a little bit of lack of sleep here and there, then that's what I would do. Because I would know that there's a light at the end. It's only a seasonal thing. So yeah, it's good. I think I would be able to do it if I can. But yeah, crunching the numbers and doing the survey, all great ideas. So I'll start with that.
Great.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that, you know, again, no shame at all for hustling it when we need to make the dollars, you know, like at yeah. all. And holiday season can be great. It's a great time of year to get creative and do things like this. And like you said, it's like, yeah. you know, it's temporary. It does have a, you know, it's a month or what have you. And I'm not trying to encourage you to like slim down on your coaching or on the masterclass, but like we got to pay the bills, right? So
yeah. right.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Does anybody else have an idea or any feedback for Amy regarding this? Yes, Jessica does. Awesome. Go ahead, Jess.
So actually this question came up as you guys were talking. And so I was thinking about the podcast with Jenny Shi that you had linked to us, Fawn. And I listened to that and she was great. And so I started looking into her a little bit more. And her background is that when she left her job, she worked as a virtual assistant for a while she was building up her coaching career. And I actually, like, I've never really heard of a virtual assistant until, Fawn, you told me that you use one, and then I hear it again. But, like, what do you use a virtual assistant for? And, Amy, maybe that's something that you could potentially look into for a side hustle, depending on the different types of things that you like to do. Just trying to, like, match up, like, you know, what could I use it for? But then also, like, what sort of income could it potentially provide for some of us as we're making this transition?
Great question. Yes. Oh, go ahead, Amy.
No, I was going to say that's so funny because when I listened to the podcast, that like struck me too, like, wow, which virtual assistant? That sounds pretty cool. Like, that sounds fun. And when you said it, it totally reminded me. So yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I didn't really look into it though because I was listening to it in the car. And then I just, you know, when I got home, I forgot about it.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So it sounds like there's some interest here. Like, what's a virtual assistant? How does that work? So yes, I have a virtual assistant. I'm about to have another one, which is really exciting. It's the best thing ever for me. I'm so grateful. So what that means is somebody who, I mean, the skill set can range from really basic or really specific to really broad. And it's essentially somebody who's able to help with administrative tasks, back-end tasks, organization, sometimes like, you know, copy editing, formatting, spreadsheets, photo sourcing, research, you know, all kinds of things that the business owner themselves doesn't necessarily need to be spending their time on because it's not their domain of expertise, right? So these are the things that I'll use it from my perspective. These are the things that I want to outsource because I personally do not need to be doing them, nor is it where my energy, my expertise is best served, right? So my VA, I won the VA lottery, I feel, and he does so many things for me. It is amazing. And if he doesn't know how to do it, he's willing to learn and he'll learn how to do it, or we'll learn how to do it together and he'll do it. So it's a totally blooming industry. It started, I would say, 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago is when VAs really started to become like a industry term. And the going rate is around 20 to 30 an hour. There's definitely people overseas with rates that are much lower. Tim Ferriss talks about this a lot in his Hour of the 4-Hour Work Week, which is a really important book to read along our journey at some point, ladies. It was written 10 years ago, so it's a little bit outdated, but what's outdated is he's updated it on his blog. Nonetheless, his whole book, Tim Ferriss's book, is all about how to outsource pretty much everything so that you can have a 4-hour work week. So he kind of started the momentum, but I think it gained traction like 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. So the going rate, as far as I knew or know, is around 20 to 30 an hour. And you can list your services on a site like Fiverr or Upwork.com or 99 Designs if you're more design oriented or the graphic design skills. And you essentially, as a VA, would set up an interview with the professional or the business owner. They would make sure that you know how to do all the things they need help with. And then they give you your tasks and you set up whatever that communication is. And then you do it for however many hours a week that they need you for or bill you for. So it can be a great revenue stream, right? Even if it's like 5 to 10 hours a week. If you just have one client as a VA, if you just have one client giving you work, that's an extra couple $100 a week or a month. And that can be really helpful for some people and really help them get off the ground. It's also awesome because you will learn what it is that a business owner needs. So it's kind of a cool like back door into learning more about, oh, like I had no idea like that fun, like what's a funnel? What is ClickFunnels? What is lead pages? Like what are all these things that my, you know, business owner client is having me do? And so it's a cool way to learn these kinds of technologies and systems as well and get paid for the learning oftentimes because they're like, you know, paying you to do it. And then as you build your skill set, then you can start charging more, or you can start to target clients that you really want to work with. So like, you know, if you want to work with someone who is bigger in the game, let's say, and you want to be their VA because you want to learn from them, or maybe you want to somehow have kind of like a mentorship with them, then, you know, your skills get to a certain point and then you're able to actually serve them on that level. So is this questions? I don't know if I'm like actually helping or answering the question here. Jess?
It's not so much as a question as it is sort of like an aha moment that I just had, because I have like a couple things. You guys were talking about like sending out emails to kind of like test the market. And I have like, I don't know if I mentioned on my last call or on our last call that I'm making flyers and I'm like passing them out to the community. And I'm like, okay, so I'm printed out 300 flyers. And if I get a 1% conversion rate, like just for this round, I'll be stoked, like so happy. And so I was thinking like, if she sends out like 120 emails and gets like 5%, like maybe like just having that like goal and like having that goal in mind when like making the email or making the flyer. But I'm getting really hung up on now I have the flyers. So shifting over to my second thought now. So now I have these flyers and I'm having a hard time just getting them out. Like I either have my kids or I have whatever excuse. And so, and you're like, just outsource everything. And I was like, I should find someone to just like pass the flyers out for me because it is really hanging me up because it's like too personal for me. But if I can like just pay someone and like go to these areas and pass them out for me, and if anyone stops you, then give them like the pitch or something that like would resonate with what I would say to people, and then I would just be done. It's amazing. That's all. Okay. Outsource.
Yeah, that's great. I'm so stoked that you had that aha. And absolutely. Like virtual assistants, boots on the ground assistants, it's any support that is legitimately, you know, helpful is great. And the one thing I would say with flyers, and I know this is a completely different domain or industry that I'm about to refer to, but so within the entertainment industry, so like music, theater, events of any kind, comedy, etc., it can be challenging to find trustworthy canvassers or flyer people doing like handing out flyers. So in fact, one of our tribe sisters who she's not active in the group, but she has an amazing theater production company in New Orleans. And one of the challenges she has as that owner of this company is finding trustworthy people to hand out flyers and not just like, you know, go out on the street and throw them away and say they did their job. Not to say that would be the case for you, Tara, because your industry is very different. So what I would say is just make sure that whoever you do have who's handing these out, which I think is a terrific idea, make sure that they can accurately describe your business to you as though you would want yourself to describe it to somebody and be able to answer some of those basic questions and or confidently say, you know, like refer people to you like, oh, you should totally, you know, talk to Tara and somebody who's charismatic and aligned with your company's, your business's values. And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good advice. Okay. Thanks.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a great aha. Jess, did you have a follow-up question to the VA?
Maybe actually, a similar concern, but on the virtual side, like how do you kind of vet someone, or what do you look for when you're just hired another one? So what were your key criteria or like red flags to watch out for?
Right. Yeah. Great question. So, and there's a chapter in Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Work Week, where he like explicitly goes through his litmus test, which I learned a lot from. So it's basically hire someone for a little project, a small project, right? So nothing that's going to break your budget and or your timeline or your project, and see how well they do it. First and foremost, interview your person. So look at their profile, look at the work they've done, look at their reviews. And then have an interview with, like, you know, send them an email and say, hey, I'm interested in hiring you. These are some of the deliverables I'd be looking for. Does this fall within your domain of expertise or your wheelhouse? Then set up a virtual interview with them and throw them some questions that are not annoyingly difficult, but questions that you want your person to know, right? And be able to do for you. And then hire them for some, you know, pilot projects or like tester projects where kind of different areas of your business. So for me, trying to remember what I had, I think it was like my workbooks, like editing and formatting, I think was one of the things. And I'm super big on grammar and format. So I was like, you know, really paying attention. And then like spreadsheet organization was something else. And I think image sourcing as well, because I wanted to see if he had the same sort of aesthetic that I did based on the examples I gave. So these little mini projects, right? And kind of seeing how they do on the delivery of these. And then if it checks out, you know, within a degree of human factor where it's like, you can always give them feedback, and are they able to implement feedback when you give it to them? So let's say one of the mini projects they send back to you and it's like, I'm not really sure. Like that wasn't really what I was asking. Give them feedback and see if they can give you, you know, another set of mock-ups or another round of like do the project again, and implement that feedback. And how do they communicate with you the entire time? Like that is so important. Like how are people showing up with you? How do they get defensive about their, you know, about the work they're doing? Or are they like, oh, totally, I'll take care of that and I'll have it to you by tomorrow. No questions asked, you know, like, That's super important. You don't want a lot of back and forth. I want to be able to know that my person can implement without asking a bunch of questions, but that when they do ask questions, they're for a good reason and they're going to implement the feedback. So those are some things to look at. A couple of other factors that I had were availability, how much time initially with Mo, I've had for almost 2 years now. How available was he? Because I had a lot of stuff to give him and still do, for bless his heart. So, you know, because if it were only like 5 hours a week, then I would have chosen somebody that had more bandwidth. And turnaround time is also something to pay attention to. How quickly can you get things to me if I indicate that they are priority? And then most recently for me in the second, I needed somebody in my time zone. Like there's a lot of projects that are really time sensitive for me, like turnarounds on proposals and contracts and stuff like that. And so finding someone who is in like available pretty immediately and in my time zone, or at least in the States, was, you know, I realized that was an important factor. So yeah, does that answer your questions?
Yeah, those were great examples. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I guess one more thing I'll throw in there too is there are a lot of so many thousands of VAs out there, which is not to be discouraging if you're interested in being one, because there's ways to stand out. But don't feel obligated to the first person that you talk to either. Like it's pretty affordable to audition a few people. I fired my first VA like that because he was a sassy little brat. And I was like, are you serious right now? This was 3.5 years ago. I could not believe it. Anyway, so don't be afraid to, like, you don't have to put up with shit. This is your business. This is your, you know, this is your baby. So find, you know, interview people or go through the process until you get that like feeling of, yeah, this is my person, because it's very intimate work, right? These projects are, they're it's yours. So that trust factor is really important too. Yeah. All right. Great questions. Thanks for offering that up. Jessica, did you have, I don't know if that was the question you came to the call with or if you have something else.
Yeah, no, I had also a branding question to follow up or continue on with the, thank you everybody for all of the feedback in the Facebook post this week. That was so helpful. And it's helped me think about the name in different ways. And one of my questions, I would still like intake any branding resources that you might have fun, but also I'm starting to wonder if, you know, I should be approaching the name factor by like the category of business that I'm entering into. Like, I feel like I'm putting certain restrictions on the name or like boundaries on the name that may or may not be important because I'm getting, you know, maybe just like general feedback, but for this particular type of business, like maybe that doesn't matter or certain things are more important. I'm just trying, like, I just have this crazy list of names and I'm just trying to figure out better ways to narrow it down.
I appreciate that question. Yeah. And thank you for offering that question up to the group. It was really awesome to see the vulnerability that you opened up there, Jessica, and then the feedback that, you know, the team has been offering up. So this is a, this could have so many angles into it. And I really appreciate how many angles you are taking in exploring this question of like, how do I name my business? So it sounds like, which is very normal, it sounds like the what of your business and the why of your business is kind of evolving in real time at a pace that has you questioning the name at the same time. I don't like, which is again, totally normal. But it kind of starting out as like beautiful Midwest and this site where people can learn about trails and experiences. And then now there's this awesome addition that you're bringing in of like, you know, setting up these experiences for people. And then now it might be not just in the Midwest, it might be elsewhere. So like, this is such a beautiful example of how it is to start a startup because everything is so damn iterative as you learn, things shift. So I just want you to know it's normal. And then this question around like category of business versus the, like the deliverable of your business or like the what of your business. And it sounds like you're like, where does the name, what's the hierarchy of importance there where the name would sit? Is that right?
Yeah. Like, as you mentioned, early on, I was more focused on being like the go-to resource that had like everything aggregated. And then that would, in order to be most useful, would probably sit best also as an app as well. So trying to think of something like super short and catchy that you could just, you know, refer to really quick. That was kind of my main, you know, shift with Beautiful Midwest, thinking like, yeah, this isn't going to work for that. And then as I started rethinking that, then all of these other kind of like confirmations that there were other issues kept popping up. But now I think like, I'm being so restrictive with like how many syllables I can have and like, you know, different things. I'm just trying to think like, does that really matter? Like,
right.
I just don't know. Like I can ask everybody and everyone gives me a different opinion, which I love. It's really helpful to hear them all, but ultimately I just need to decide and I'm trying to define those parameters for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this might sound weird, but the good news is that it's going to be okay in the long run. By that, I mean, it can, like, whatever name you choose can have, like, kind of nothing to do with your business, like Uber or Nike or Adidas or, you know, companies that don't have a direct, like, connotation already in the lexicon of society. Or you can choose something that has a direct attribution to what it is you're doing with regard to nature and experience and things like that. I think in either case, it's really what's behind what you're creating that's going to propel it. the branding is important, the naming is important, but the what of it, people will learn what the what of it is as you start to put it out into the world. So with regard to how to choose the name, I'm sensing, I don't know, this is just my sense, but I think there's a sweet spot between specific to the domain that you're serving, whether it's like nature, right? Or adventure, like experiencing nature, something that could speak to that, but also doesn't have to be as specific as like Beautiful Midwest was, right? Or that idea. What are some of your top, like your top choices right now?
Oh, it really changes by the day.
Yeah.
let's see. Today I was like sitting for a while with Nature in Reach, or something that was kind of like addressing the fact that it's all kind of like within a certain radius or circumference of your starting point.
Nice. Yeah. So in terms of your target market, this might be an interesting angle to check out. Are they listening for or looking for, if hypothetically, right, looking for something that they can visually like connect to the what, right? The nature piece. So like Nature in Reach would be an example of that. Or are they, do they follow companies that are more of those like one slogan name sorts of things? Like, so this might lead you to researching like the purchasing habits or the recreational, people with recreational income or disposable income that enjoy the outdoors, what kinds of products do they use? And is there any kind of like clear signal there as to what name, you know, what type of name would be best? So looking to the market is one approach. I think Nature in Reach is great. Like,
actually it was Nature in Range.
In Range.
Yeah, but, which rolls off a little bit better, but still.
I think the deliverable is going to inform this quite a bit, like where you're focusing that MVP. If it's the site, right, and the blog, providing information for people, I think that's going to inform things quite differently than if your MVP is like creating a car service that helps people get out into the outdoors. Like, those are very different MVPs, right? Very different products. You can, of course, expand to include both of those, but I think that will inform things. Who? Any feedback, ideas for Jess from the crew? Tara, yeah.
I have a little bit of feedback just because I was in a very identical situation like a month ago. And granted, I don't have like clients yet, but I think that I was at a point where I had written down like 40 names in a book, and I just kept going over them and asking people like what they thought my name should be and like what was the best idea, and like really scrutinizing it, and thought that it would like make or break my business potentially. But then I think I just got to a point where I realized that I just had that out of all the whole path of my business journey was getting stopped up by me not just picking a name and trusting my gut. And then just having that perspective and insight of realizing that like I was getting in my own way, and I just had to like just had to trust and pick, because I already knew which one was going to be okay. And if it wasn't perfect, it didn't matter anyway. And I just picked a name, and it's not like a revelation of a name. It doesn't give me like goosebumps whenever I hear it, but it works. And I've like totally like branded around it. And I think just like making that decision and trusting myself was very empowering. And I think that you'll get to that point too, where you just know that you have like good name options, and you can like really take off on your journey after you just like make that commitment. That's all. Because that was my experience.
Thank you for sharing that, because I feel exactly the same way. There's so many things that I know are getting held up by this, and it's, I'm really starting to feel the pressure because I just want to move forward, and there's so many things that I feel hindered by with this. And I am waiting for that like perfect name where I like hear it and I'm like, oh, I love it. This is perfect. But it's great to hear you say that that didn't happen. You know, it was just kind of like, okay, this is going to work and we're going to move forward, and you just move on.
Yeah, just move on. And I think you already have some really great names. You can't go wrong with a few of them, I've heard. So
thank you, Tara. That was good feedback. Yeah, Ashley.
Yeah, I agree with Tara. I think all you have some really great options. But I would also say, you know, when you do choose a name, you can also invoke some of that emotion or some of the elements that you want to kind of identify your business with once you start with the branding and the logo design and all of that, because that's really where you start to bring your name and everything to life. And so I would say just, yeah, trust your gut, pick one. And then once you start to get down in that branding process, that's where really where you can add some of those details and emotion. So.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks so much. Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that for sure. Hey, Fawn. Hi, Herky.
Hi. Yes, hey. Hi. I joined in the car. I finished the
phone. P.S. Hi. I love you. Hi. Do you have a comment for Jess or question? Awesome.
Like I said, I think same thing, Jess. I think you should just go ahead and not really get hung up on the name. Sometimes, at least for me, I feel like I would come up with things like we often do for, you know, finding the perfect this and perfect that. And it's really like pushing through your fears, because once you get past the name, it'll be like, this is real. And I am, you know, in the business and it's happening. And that's what we don't want to happen. And we put blocks for ourselves. So I feel like to move past it, and you know, you, if in the future you decide to do something, change the name or whatever, which, you know, may or may not happen, but it's time you move through that block that I think you've created for yourself, and give yourself an expiration date. By this date, I'm going to go and move ahead, trust the universe and move ahead with the name. You know, that's all.
Thanks, Herky.
Yeah, that's good feedback as well. Yeah, it's this dance between wanting to land the brand accurately enough that you're, you know, ideally not having to go back and change it. But it's okay if that happens. Like right now, there's a lot of brand transformations out there in the world I'm seeing. One of the more recent ones is Infusionsoft is turning into Keep. And Infusionsoft is like a name in the industry for solopreneurs like yourselves. You'll be learning about Infusionsoft soon. But brands change their names, they change their logos. So it's ideal to have something that you can stick with for a while. And like Ashley said, and I agree with this, that then you start to flesh it out, right? Then the what of your company, your business, your brand starts to, like, then people know what it is. Like the word Uber, like we did not associate that to cars until we did, right? Or DoorDash or whatever. So, but I do appreciate that you want to nail it like good enough, right? I think that there's a lot of value in that. And I don't want to downplay the importance of a name either. So in terms of resources, I believe in Sam Altman's free course, it's the full Stanford course. Sam Altman is the co-founder of Y Combinator, which is an incubator in Silicon Valley. It's the most famous, well-known incubator. An incubator is a place where startups go to get funding and develop their businesses. And so Sam Altman gave a free lecture series at Stanford and offers it for free somewhere online. I think you just type it in. And I believe in one of those lectures, he talks about like naming your business. It's been so many years, but I might be off with that. I do also believe that the art of the start, or how to start a startup, or the art of the start 2.0, they might talk about this as well. So you might do some skimming in those to see. But startup culture usually has some pretty good pointers like about this. But also in the tech startup world, it's a little bit easier because you can just name something random like Uber and then make it a thing. So there's also business name generators online, and you can type in like the keywords. It looks like you found those. So you can like type in a few things related to your business and it will like, you know, generate these word combinations for you as well. So maybe something to check out. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for offering that up. And let's keep that discussion going in the Facebook group, you know, as you continue to hone in on some ideas, Jess. Yeah. Thank you. You may also want to source a branding consultant for an hour, you know, and it might be a couple $100, but there are firms and individuals who literally specialize in naming shit, not shit, but like naming things and branding things and helping that decision-making process. So if you do get to a point where you're like, oh, that might be a good investment for this phase. Yeah. Right. Questions. Oh, I will say, Herky sent over two really good questions earlier today via email because she wasn't sure if she could be here. And both of her questions were really good. And like, I knew that I was going to have a lot to say. So I recorded a video that's about half an hour long that I'll be posting in the Facebook group after this call, addressing her two questions. One of which was, if I'm interested, if she's, Herky, do you want to ask your questions or do you want me to paraphrase them?
Yeah. So the first one was, if I want to pursue coaching, is a coaching certification required, recommended? And if it is, then which one do you recommend? So that was my first. And the second one, I can't remember.
It was about websites you were asking.
Yeah, you go ahead.
You were, which is a great question that everybody asks, along our journey, is should I make my own website or should I hire somebody, right? Like, yes. Get to that crossroads, and we want to save money as entrepreneurs, but we also have a limited amount of time every day and domain of expertise. So that was a really great
also what like that- if you want to, yeah, and because I'm adding content gradually, would hiring someone else, would they wait, or I have to wait till I finish, you know, whatever I want on the website? Or can it be like a work in progress for a bit, you know, and start with basic and then build it up? So is it doable for me or best to hire?
Yeah, great question. So I recorded a video answering these questions or giving my thoughts and feedback that I will post in just a few minutes here. And feel free to like follow up on anything that I mentioned in those videos and like ask in the comments, type in the comments. This is a really great, both of these questions are super great. But I do speak to that, like, you know, can I start my own website and like scale it and add to it? Or if I hire somebody, how do I, you know, add my content, stuff like that. So hopefully my video will give you like a kind of a foot up on that. And then we can keep that conversation going too. Thanks for those questions, Herky.
Sure. I have one more, but that's not important. I mean, I can go in the end.
Okay. Does anybody else have a, we have 6 minutes left. Anyone else have a question? Okay, Herky, you're welcome to offer it up.
Okay. My dog is chewing his bone in the background, if you hear him. But little vulnerable share, I would say. So I started posting, you know, I just got so tired of waiting and finding the right thing that I started now posting stuff on Facebook and seeing, and I posted in two or three groups. So one of my posts was about how I, you know, my career relaunch after my break as a stay-at-home mom and the tips. And I posted in one of the groups that I used to be a part of, and I got amazing response. So I was, and people were like messaging me. Yeah. So I got like 150 likes, and so, and people were like asking me and messaging me. And then this lady.
Sorry, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, me too. I was like, okay, I mean, I don't have a website. What do I say? I can't even say I'm a coach because I'm not yet there. But I was like, I have to do something. I got just so tired of myself complaining. I want to get out of corporate and start a business and not doing it. And I'm like, you know what, girl, just go and do something. And I don't care how messy it is.
Hell yes. Okay.
So then I, so this lady, the owner of the group. She's, you know, experience and everything. And she had the same thing. She is a Harvard graduate, and then she took a break as a mom, and then whatever. So she contacted me on LinkedIn, and she said, congratulations, and you're getting a lot of feedback, and I'm so happy for you, and this and that. Then the next time I reposted from what I had, and I'm still getting familiar with, you know, going deep into Facebook. I have just used it, not really used it deep. So I reposted in that group, and that group had my email at the back, which is sort of like a call to action. If you're interested in my coaching, this is my email. And I realized that I shouldn't have done that in the other group, because it has my email and I haven't asked the administrator, or I don't know what are the ethical rules to go by. And so I also wrote to her, like, she congratulated me. So I thanked her and I said, I'm sorry, I think I had my email. So what I can do is I can post it back and remove my email and my name, and I can just post the content, because people were asking me so many questions, and that's the reason I drafted that whole thing. And she got a little upset with me. She's like, you can market in my group, and please remember. I was like, okay. I was like, I am myself admitting that, you know, this had my name, and your people in your group asked me 200 questions. So I've sat 4 hours to try to answer and put together this post, and I'm saying remove my name, but still she was upset with me. Mm-hmm. And some of these people are messaging me, you didn't write, you said you will write back, you haven't. And now I don't know what to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. This is a really great, a great real life example of learning, learning in real time.
Entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah. Did you request the code of conduct for that group from the admin?
No, I was already part of this group for a long time, but I never posted there. I mean, I've been there for 2-3 years because I was also trying to relaunch. So,
Okay. So my go-to would be to, because the admin can kick you out, which is not what we want, right? Like, we do not want people getting, like, you know, kicking Herky out of places that people really want her to be in. So I would suggest following up with the admin, as grumpy as she might seem right now, and saying, I just really want to be clear about your code of conduct. Would you be willing to send that over to me, or where can I find it so that I know what's within the parameters of the group?
So there's the code of conduct for every group. Is that what it is?
Yes, okay. Every should. It's not mandatory, but every admin should have a code of conduct in the group. Oftentimes it will be like a requirement to join the group. You have to like read through and then click, I consent to the code of conduct. But that may not have been a part of your process. So if there's not a code of conduct, then no harm, no foul. But you still want to check in with her and ask her, like, you know, just let her know, hey, I have a lot that I can speak to here, a lot of value to bring to the group. How would you like for me to do that in a way that is non-competitive or that falls within your, you know, rules or your protocol? And check in with her.
Because I thought maybe later, because she was with me, and she was like, most people are happy that, you know, you're posting in their group and stuff, and you're getting a response too. But I think after I was not that active, they have their own, maybe they have their own coaches or some kind of arrangement. Is it that, or what is she so pissed off about? I don't understand. Like,
right. Right. Yeah. A lot of groups do have a no, I can't think of the word right now, but basically like no marketing in their groups, self-promotion. That's what it is. So, and that could be because that person moderating it or the admin, first of all, doesn't want it to turn into a sales fiasco of like, you know, people just selling stuff left and right. But also perhaps their products are, you know, specifically congruent with what you would be offering. And so it is a non-compete kind of situation. Again, checking in with the admin would be the way to find that out. And this is where your blog, in theory, at least, as long as the admin isn't too strict about it, this is where having a blog is great, because you can post things like what you just posted, and you can have a, like, you know, if you're interested in reading the rest of this blog or reading my other blogs, and just link your blog there, that way it's not like a direct service. It's not, you're not trying to sell anything. You're just saying, hey, you can find more information here.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. I've wanted to really share. I don't care. I'm not looking for clients. I mean, I am. Why not? But not from there to steal anybody's anything. Yeah. I just feel so bad because I was in their place and now they're like, you know, connecting because I was also, they were all stay-at-home moms. So mm-hmm. I didn't know how to work around that. You know, mm-hmm. is it a moral issue or is this like helping others or is it an ego issue? What is it? Exactly, you know.
Depends on the person. It really does. I can't speak to that, but I think my line of thought here is check in with the admin, just get the code of conduct if she has one. If she doesn't, let her know, or maybe let her know anyway, like, you know, I'm purely wanting to serve here. Like, I'm not trying to sell anything. And it could have been, it sounds like you offered like, hey, if you're interested in coaching, contact me. Was that the verbiage?
So yes, that was the verbiage on my Facebook page. And because I shared this post, I realized they didn't even pick it up. I'm a fool. Yeah. Because I realized that, oh, this is not ethical. So I think she may not even have realized that. And then I told her there's a misunderstanding. My focus, my motive was definitely not to sell. But because I got so many questions, I tried to answer them. And mm-hmm. I can remove any reference to me whatsoever, even if it's, you know, because one of my points is accountability or career coaching, because that's what I also did. Mm-hmm. But I can even take that off if, you know, mm-hmm. if somehow it's this thing. But mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. So yeah. It was very positive to see so many people and so encouraging. And then I guess it's just a part of this thing. But yeah, but business-wise and ethics-wise, I wanted to take your input so that, you know, mm-hmm. what should one do? Yeah.
I appreciate that you're bringing this to the table. Mm-hmm. In fact, the podcast that I just posted in the Life on Purpose page is, she talks about this in a way. But I think, Herky, like, ask the admin, like, is it okay if I link my profile to this post? You know, just so people can, like, have a call to action to go to my profile to read more. Just find out what this particular admin is okay with and what she's not. And then for future purposes, again, you know, read the code of conduct and see what the parameters are there.
Got it.
Good question. Yeah, in my experience, and I don't, you know, to be honest, I've used to be in a lot more Facebook groups than I am now, so I don't have my thumb on the pulse of like modern etiquette necessarily. But the rule of thumb used to be no direct sales, no direct offers unless otherwise stated. But links to helpful information, totally cool. So blogs included, which is how a lot of people drove traffic to their blogs and their websites, and then, you know, had people opt into their lead magnet and then made sales that way. So I think like the direct sales used to be kind of like the litmus test of the line, mm-hmm. but I'm not, it's now, it's like super, you know, kind of case by case. So thanks for that question. That was great. All right. Okay, ladies, thanks for being here for office hours. If you feel so called to follow up with any thoughts, questions, or takeaways in the Facebook group, I would love that and keep the conversation going there. And for future reference for the group call or office hours, if you have specific questions that you would like to be addressed, feel free to post those in the Facebook group under, there's tags or like theme tags for the comments, and choose the one that says office hours questions, and then post your question under that and tag me so that I get a, you know, a ping, and then I'll make sure that we get to you know, prioritize that on the calls. And thank you for being here. I'll have a video up on the Facebook page in a few minutes about the coaching certification question and the website question that Herky offered up. And
thank you.
Thanks for being here, everybody. See you next week. And I'll be posting more about the element number one as well. So stay tuned for that. We've got some stuff coming your way. Cool. All right. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for being here.